Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. The truth of God. The truth of the gospel of God. Now, how did the world get in such a mess today that they have faith shared and interreligious ecumenical movement to bring all religions together and to bring world peace? And what they have done, they've rejected the Word of God, they've cast it behind themselves, they have neglected the truth of the Bible, they have brought in another Jesus, they have brought in another gospel. So in restoring original Christianity for today and understanding what it needs to be, let's come to the pastoral epistle of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and let's see what Paul told Timothy. Now, we have to understand, very importantly, that Christianity of this world is not of God. They left God long ago. And that Catholicism and Protestantism are not true forms of Christianity as Jesus taught. Because they have their own traditions, they have their own beliefs. Catholics say we could preach the gospel without the Bible. Really? How about trying to cross an ocean without a compass? Where do you think you're going to end up? And who do they think they are that they can reject the whole Word of God? When Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the Protestants are only Reformed Catholics. They never changed and really got back to the Bible. Oh, they got back to more of the Bible than the Catholics have. But then you look at the other religions of the world. And now they're trying to bring them all together. How's that happening? And it will be successful because the spirit of deception from Satan the devil is permeating the whole world. That's why you have lies in economics, you have lies in government, you have lies in religion. Now, God gave his word, which is the truth, and you have to prove that it's the truth. And in order to really follow God and in order to be a true Christian, then you need to do as Jesus said. Live by every word of God. And what is a Christian in reality? Is it someone who has Christian values? Or is it someone who walks in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? Or is it someone who is looking to God as the guidance and measure of their behavior? Looking to the word of God and how they need to live? Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Now let's see what happened, because in the New Testament, we have many scriptures which tell us about another Jesus, false prophets, another gospel. And let's see what Paul wrote to Timothy. And this will help give us a bearing so that we will have a standard of evaluation and judgment from God, which to see and view things in the world, and to see whether it is of God or not. Let's come to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And that from a child you have known the holy writings, which is the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now think about this for a minute. Through faith in Jesus Christ, there is salvation in the Old Testament. But you have to put that together with the New Testament, you see. Now think about that, because most of the Christian world says, well, you know, that Old Testament, that was a God who was mean and evil and wicked, so we don't follow that at all. And they don't even know that the Lord God of the Old Testament was the one who became Jesus Christ. So they don't even know what they're talking about. And yet people sit there and say, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why we're to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Now notice verse 16. All Scripture, and that means each and every one, is God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the word of God. Do you believe that? And if you believe it, have you proved it so you can really believe it? Because you see, there is an emotional acceptance of things which people mistakenly believe is true belief. But it's not. In order to have true faith, you have to prove the truth. And you have to hold fast to what is good. Now notice what the Scriptures are for. So that the man of God, and that's any person of God, not only the minister, not only the preacher, but everyone who has the Spirit of God, may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. And there are those words again, good work. People say, oh, you have to have faith, you don't have to have works. And James says, you don't have faith if you don't have works. Now come to chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's see what the Apostle Paul gave Timothy, who was a minister of God, as a solemn charge. And it's something that needs to be adhered to by everyone who is a true minister of God. A lot of ministers out there in the world claim to be Christian ministers, but we're told we can know them by their fruits, and you can understand this very simple thing. If they keep Sunday, they are deluded and they are not true ministers of God. And if they keep the holidays of this world rather than the Sabbath and the holy days of God, they are false ministers. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And if you're in sheep's clothing, you can be very nice. And also remember that the false prophet, as we covered earlier in an earlier segment, looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. And the whole world, as we saw, is coming to a point of worshiping Satan the devil. And as we get to that point, what will you do? Will you, for the sake of convenience, accept it? Will you, for the sake of not losing your father and mother and brother and sister and the relationship you have with them? Well, you wouldn't want to break that up, would you? Well, you forgot that Jesus said, I came to bring a sword to set a man at variance against his household. Father against a son, mother against her daughter, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He didn't come to bring peace. When Jesus returns, he will establish peace. But it's very evident that he hasn't established it yet. And it's very evident that all the works of men cannot establish it, especially while Satan the devil is still around. Now let's read chapter 4 and verse 1. Here's how you know. You want to know who a true minister is? You want to know whether they're really serving God, have the Spirit of God, and are going to tell you the truth? See, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of lies. And the commandments of God are truth. The statutes of God are truth. And the law of God is truth. And everything about God from the beginning has been true altogether. That's why you have the Bible. You have a Bible in your house? Personal message from God to you. So if you don't pick it up and read it and study it, at the judgment day, what is God going to say? Well, did you have a Bible in your house? Yes, Lord, I did, but I didn't read it. He's going to say, that's your fault, not mine. I sent it. Well, my grandma gave it to me. No, that's how I sent it. Okay, let's read 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore, in the sight of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a charge. Every minister willing to listen to that, to heed that, to fear that, to obey that, to gauge everything that they say and do in their ministry on this? Now notice, who is ready to judge the living and the dead, it is appearing in his kingdom. And that judgment is going on right now. Judgment is upon the house of God. And if the righteous be saved with great difficulty, not the easy drive through hamburger style or golf outing style of Christianity, where you give God 10 seconds of your life, and oh, you're so wonderful. Here's what he says, verse 2, preach the word. What does that mean? Just what it says, the word of God. And remember, who is Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word, the very personification of it, because he is the one who spoke the Word of God in the Old Testament. And he is the one who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and nothing came into being without him. Everything that was created was made by him. Now you see how people have cheapened Christ? You see how they have rejected him? Oh, the Muslims say, well, he's a prophet just like Muhammad. Really? Let's read on here. Preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Convict, rebuke, encourage with all patience and doctrine. That's what the true ministers of God are to do. Teach love and hope and faith, to give warning when things are wrong, to give correction when things have gone awry, to be on guard in the church against those things coming along. Because why? And I wanted you to think about what we're going to talk about again with the faith shared experience as taught by Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church in Southern California, and many, many, many other ministers and pastors and leading people. They are wolves in sheep's clothing who have come into the church for this very time, in this very hour, to lead people astray. Now, if you think that's strong talk, well, then you don't know your Bible, and you don't understand what is happening, and you are headed directly for a fall, and you know what's going to happen. There will be a time when it's too late, and people are going to run around and say, Lord, Lord, where are you? Then the answer is going to be, you didn't seek me while you had time. You didn't want to learn of me when it was available. You didn't want to devote your time because you were too dedicated to your sports or to your club or to whatever thing is your idol. So therefore, when you come screaming for help for me, as God told Jeremiah concerning the people before they went into captivity, he said, Jeremiah, don't you even lift up your voice in prayer for these people, because I will not hear you. Do you believe those times are coming again? I tell you they are. Verse 3, because here's what they will do. For there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. No, we don't want to be bothered with doctrine. That's too hard. That's complicated. We got to think, and we don't want to think. We just want to react emotionally and be warm and fuzzy and have good feelings. Now continuing, but according to their own lust, they shall accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers, having itching ears to hear what satisfies their cravings. Tell us what we want to know. Speak to us smooth words. Don't get up there and correct us. And the deacon will get up there and say, now, look here, young whippersnapper of a minister, I've been around here for a long time, and I'm on this here church board, and let me tell you one thing. You don't cross anything that we say. That's happened many churches. Oh, yes, in the concrete of politics. Let's go on. Here's what's going to happen to them. And they shall turn away their own ears from the truth, and they shall be turned aside to myths, to lies. Yes, indeed, to lies. How many lies do you believe? I'll ask that many times because lots of times you don't think you believe any lies. Well, how many times do you lie to yourself? You know, they found that the average person lies 3 times in 10 minutes. What about you? What is your make-believe reality in your life wherever you're going? And what are you going to do about it? And what does God say about it? Now, if you turn away your ear from hearing the truth, and if you turn yourself over to lies, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to blind your eyes, and the time is going to come when all of these things are going to come upon you like an unseen sledgehammer. Bam! And you're going to wonder what's happened. Has that not happened to this nation already? Is it not happening to the world right now? Yes, indeed. You look around you. Look at the truth. Look at the disasters. Look at the judgments of God. God's hand is active in the world. Now come back here to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and we're going to read again about the coming lawlessness, the beast of Revelation 13 that is coming. See, there's coming a one-world government. There's coming a one-world religion. There's coming a one-world economic system. And we are on the verge of all three of those emerging very quickly. And when it happens, what are you going to do? Let's read it here. Verse 9, even the one who's coming is according to the inner working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now you see, they turn their ears from the truth and given over to myths, given over to lies, and here we have the same thing here, that they did not receive the love of the truth. Now, let me ask you a question. What about you? Do you love the truth? You say you love God? Well, he's the God of truth. And if you don't love the truth, how can you love God? And if you don't believe and live by the truth, how are you going to recognize when error comes up? And if you don't study the Word of God so you can watch faithfully, how are you going to know when someone is lying to you? Because they will lie to you with good words. They will tell you how wonderful this is going to be, and I'll bring that out here in just a minute. Because here's what's going to happen to you. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. Now that junction is not very far down the road, but for every one of us who want to know the truth, that junction is always at hand. Now, let me read you how they're building the interfaith community, giving over to myths, giving over to the teachings of the religions of this world. And my, how wonderful that is. So let me show you this book. This is The World Scripture, a Comparative Anthology of Sacred Text, a project of the International Religious Foundation. Never heard of that, have you, huh? How long do you suppose this has been around? How long do you suppose that you have never had a clue as to what they are doing in religion? And yet, you look at Christianity collapsing, and you wonder what's going on. Well, it's collapsing because they rejected God. It's collapsing because they believe lies. It's collapsing because they don't have the Spirit of God. And it's collapsing because there are forces working within it to destroy it and to transform it into the same old paradigm that began back in Genesis, the 10th chapter. Now, we'll get there a little later, not in this segment. But let me read to you what it says here. This book appears at a crucial time in human history, and it was copyrighted in 1991, 20 years ago. And they've been working on this for well over 100 years. Continuing now, ecumenical practices are at an all-time high. Religious barriers are dissolving and a new age. Note those words, new age, because what it's going to be is a new age religion for a global religious movement, for a world religion with world scriptures, where we have unity through diversity, and we all accept each other. World scripture, by revealing the shared beliefs of the world's religions, will stimulate the mobilization of spiritual power for peace. Remember what it says in the Bible? At the end time, they're going to say, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Then sudden destruction comes upon them. Now continuing. Through mutual cooperation, the world's races and nations can begin to build a peaceful family of mankind centered upon the fatherhood of our common heavenly parent, whether he is called Allah or God or ultimate reality. Look at what they're combining here. This is absolutely amazing. The religions represented include Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Jainism, Sikhism, Baha'i Faith, Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, and Zoroastrianism. Also featured are oral traditions from various primal religions of Africa, North America, Asia, and Oceania, along with their recorded prayers and proverbs. Isn't that amazing? Did you know there was any such book such as this? Did you know that they are preparing for the sweeping changes in all religions? Did you know that because of the lies of Satan the devil and the deceptions of this world, that it will be successful for a while? And did you know that their aim is to totally destroy the truth of Christianity? Now, you look at the world's Christianity and ask the question, have they not succeeded greatly already? And have not people been beaten down and worn down to where they're ready to accept anything? And have there not been enough false prophets to come along with things that are not right, as we will see a little later, to where then they give up on the Bible, they give up on their church, and they don't even know that the church that they are going to, which says the first church of whatever, the Church of Christ or whatever, is not of God because they don't love God and keep His commandments. Oh, but there's so much love there. It's all human love. See? Because John wrote, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. People go, ah, what a restrictive religion. We can't tolerate this kind of thing. Well, go ahead. Choose all of this Tower of Babel nonsense and see where you end up. The choice is yours. What are you going to do? Let me read some of the things from the foreword here so that you understand what is taking place. It is obvious that as we move toward a world civilization in which many cultures and spiritual traditions will impinge on one another, all of us should understand one another. And that doesn't necessarily mean agreement. How could it, given the diversity of human values evident in the world? But it can mean growing convergence among faiths, large and small, of our shrinking planet. It is therefore good to have sources of comparison among religious traditions. And one obvious place to look is in the scriptures and sacred writings of various cultures. So they have the world scriptures, the world Bible, for the world religion. Let's finish with this quote. World scripture offers an admirable assemblage of quotations from the holy texts of the world from a broadly theistic angle. Well, we'll pick it up next time right here. Can you believe this is a reality and that a one-world religion is coming? Do you believe the Word of God? Have you proved the Word of God? Will you be deceived by the do-goodism of Satan and these religious people who are not from God but claim that they are? What are you going to do? The choice is at hand. That's why we have church at home. Now you need to write for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? That tells you what's going on and what you need to do to reestablish yourself with God. And then the other book, Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? So that you understand how we came from where we were to where we are. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.